Okay, good morning, everybody. I want to do a message or lesson this morning on something we actually discussed in one of the men's meetings. Going forward, you know, the congregation has done really well through the years. In the idea of giving, we have a stewardship message usually on Lord's Day, just, you know, as a way of a reminder, a little encouraging along the way. But, you know, we've never made a great big emphasis. It just seems like most people, you know, by their understanding and by faith, have contributed to our causes down here. And, you know, we make things happen. But what came up in the conversation, you know, we've done some capital improvements. We try to keep our buildings, you know, up, and, you know, it takes maintenance and things like that. But there's a part that maybe some of you have not been aware of, good things that have been going on, but you're not exactly been kept in the loop. Now, that's partly my fault, because I'm usually the one that gets these kinds of requests that I take to some of the guys for, like, an approval, and it's to usually help somebody. So what, in our discussions, because, you know, we've had some, sometimes some pretty good savings. We got maybe $50,000, but we're not a bank. So what do we do with that? Well, like I say, we are doing things, but some of you may not know the good things that are being done, and you're being deprived, I guess, of knowing that, because it's a blessing. So what the decision was made, I should say something about, I should do a lesson about that, and I want to do that. I want to share. And then I want to, you know, tell you what maybe we'll do going forward to keep everyone informed so that you can be a partaker of the knowledge. You're already given, but sometimes you're not 100% sure, you know, what all we're able to do with the support. Now, first off, in Scripture, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send and bear your gift to Jerusalem. Now, they were talking about some collections they took so they could help with other needs in this context here. Because we know from the book of Acts, there was a situation that had arisen in Judea in Acts chapter 11. Starting out verse 28, then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. And this also they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Now, this isn't going to be a lesson on giving. I've already established the congregation's done very well in the idea of giving. But what I do want to bring to our understanding, we have help. In many situations that some of you maybe are not aware of. Now, this famine was going to occur in Judea, and they were concerned about the Christians to send some help. Why didn't God just fix it? So there wasn't a famine. Well, then I guess you wouldn't have to respond, right? Obviously, God allowed the famine. Jesus said, look, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and pestilence, plenty of that. Famine, the way the world is. That is not going away. In fact, Jesus would say, this ain't the end. This is the beginning of sorrows. The world's always been that way. When Chad opened up there in Mark 14, I thought he was going to go to this verse there. He didn't read it, but Jesus said, the poor you'll always have with you. Why don't God just fix that? He wants us to be aware. Because where I'm going with the lesson, you're going to find out it brings about the good in us, his people. That's what he wants. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Why? Because it comes back to you. It changes you and me to care about other people. It ain't going away, so we're going to have plenty of opportunities. And again, we have responded to those things, but some of you didn't know that. You know, a lot of times it ain't much. We're not talking about $10,000. We're talking $300 or $400. Maybe $500. Maybe $1,000. It's amazing what a little bit can do to bring an unbelievable amount of relief to somebody else. In their most urgent need. We'll see that. Urgent need. Takes wisdom, too, by the way, on how and when to help. You don't want to enable. You don't want to cause bad, you know, enable bad behaviors. Paul said, if people don't work, they shouldn't eat. Well, that sounds kind of harsh. You don't want to enable bad behavior. People need a hand up, not a hand out. Take some wisdom. So there's going to be a famine, and these people, the Christians, the collection of the saints that we read in 1 Corinthians 16, was to deal with that problem. Everyone working together, that there'll be an equality, not that others now be burdened and others eased. God knows what he's doing. Now, Paul also would say, even at a local level, and I'm just turning real quick to, you know, 1 Corinthians 9, even though, again, this is not a lesson on giving, we're already giving. I just want you to understand, if we're going to have a collection, that's what we do. We always have, you know, everybody else, you know, sometimes, you know, but people don't understand, well, how's that money used? I mean, do you really see church buildings in the Bible? I can turn you to Philemon. I can turn you to the last of Colossians where Paul salutes the church in the house. Well, then, is it wrong to have a church building? No. Maybe a cathedral-looking kind of thing might be a little excessive when the organ itself cost $150,000. That might be a little extreme. They had synagogues. Where's the synagogue in the Bible? And are those things free? No. In other words, it's not wrong for God's people to have a place to get together, and you can't stuff everybody in somebody's house, okay? You know, it's moderation. But again, I ain't talking about that. Paul said, do not we, speaking of himself and Barnabas, don't we have a right to take a believing wife along, verse 5, like the other apostles, like the brothers of the Lord Cephas? Is it only Barnabas and me that have no right to refrain from the working? Whoever goes to war at his own expense, who plants a vineyard and doesn't eat of its fruit, or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? Do I say these things as a mere man? Or does not the law also say the same thing? For it's written, you should not written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it's trading out the grain. God only concerned about oxen? Or does he not say it altogether for our sakes? Well, for our sakes, no doubt. It's written, he who plows should plow in hope. He who threshes in hope should be a partaker of the hope. Now, if we've sown to you spiritual things, is it any great thing if we reap your material things? If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things that lest we hinder the gospel. Now, he would go on to say in Acts 20 that his own hands administered to his needs. That's where that phrase, that the idea comes from, a tent maker, preacher. Most of us here, Jeff, myself, Jerry, I could point to all you guys, a lot of you know, been up here. Tent maker, preacher, what that mean? We've ministered to our own needs with our own hands through gainful employment, blessed by God, and all the work still got done because we worked together to do it. I mean, hey, I think we're doing pretty good here with, you know, does that mean that you can't pay someone? It would depend on the circumstances, actually. Again, that takes wisdom, but I ain't talking about that. See, I have to bring out where, obviously, there were costs. You don't go to war of your own charges. You know, so there's things that need to be done, but you don't necessarily have to pay for all that. That's what you need help in doing. That's what the saints do. It's what the Christians do. That's the idea. So we want to understand, or actually put, I guess, in the purpose of my speaking today, I want to inform you of what has been done and will be done going forward, and we'll talk about how we can keep you informed because you're doing a good thing. Just, you should know about it. Now, you remember when the Apostle Paul met the other apostles. They had a little confab. And it says in Galatians chapter 2, when James and Cephas, which is Peter and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me as Paul, they've given me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go to the Gentiles, they'll go to the circumcision. You know, they kind of split that up. The Apostle Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. Okay. And James was really the kind of the head of the church there in Jerusalem. Peter, so these apostles are together here. But they desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I was also eager to do. Remember the poor. That's a big chunk of this ministry, folks. Preaching the word, obviously, is going to be to the saving of people's souls. But we'll see the verses. You know the verses. You can't say to somebody, be warmed and filled. We'll pray for you, brother. And you don't give them what's necessary for their body. James says, what good is that? Our faith and works have to work together. Jesus possessed both. When you read, you know, you read the Gospels, now he could do a lot of things miraculously. I mean, because he didn't have a lot of time to mess around. Besides all the healing and things that he did, the eyes opening, the ears open, the dead were raised, the demons were cast out, people who were unclean were made clean from leprosy. All that does is parallel physical infirmity. Now, we have to do it the old-fashioned way. Jesus said sick people need a physician. Lame people need a wheelchair. Okay? You got to send them to the doctor. Maybe they need some medicine. It's done the old-fashioned way now. But I'll tell you what, you get in many ways the exact same result. The impact. You know, I guess we've got some pictures scattered up there. They've been there a long time. Kristen stuck them up there. But it shows clean water, wheelchairs, food baskets. That's still the same things people need today. They wanted us to remember the poor, Paul said, which I was eager to do. Now, remember in Galatians chapter 6, he expands that just a tad in the sense of Galatians 6 and 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. So Christians need to be concerned about not just the other Christians. He said, no, do good to all, but especially to those of the household of faith. I was just thinking here, you know, we'll throw this in here from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus talks about caring about other people. He said God cares about them. I'm just turning here to, oh, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you, persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. If you're only loving them that love you, what reward do you have? Even the tax collectors do the same. If you're only greeting your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your heavenly Father's perfect. God cares about everybody. And we need to care about everybody too. But especially those, he said, of the household of faith. Now, in Titus, run down a couple of passages here in Titus. Titus makes reference to the good works. Oh, let's just start in Titus 3. How about verses 1? Be subject to the rulers and authorities. Be ready for what? Every good work. Every good work. Verse 8 says, this is a faithful saying. These things I want to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to do what? Maintain good works. Why? These are good and profitable to men. And how about verse 14? Let our people also learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs, that they may be not unfruitful. Do you realize he says back in Ephesians chapter 2 that we're created for this? He's raised us up together. He made us alive. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Now verse 6 says he raises up together to sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For verse 8 says, by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works. That's works of the law, by the way. Lest any should boast, for we are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Back to the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5. He says, you are the salt of the earth. Verse 13. But if the salt loses its flavor, how will it be seasoned? It's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled on the foot of men. You're the light of the world, Jesus said. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand to give light to everyone in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father who is in heaven. It ain't going to bring you glory, bring God glory. That's the whole idea. You know, I've been doing this for quite a long time, actually, through the what I call, you know, our nonprofit, Direct Connect Humanitarian Aid. I don't know if you know this. Started this thing in 1998. The passage that I use for our purposes back then to jumpstart this thing was out of Romans chapter 15. Paul said in verse 20, he made it his aim to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest he should build on another man's foundation. But as it's written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see, and to those who have not heard shall understand. DCHA, the nonprofit organization, was founded for the purposes of humanitarian aid, basically to go in many places where Christ had not been preached. You think of churches going and getting involved to put missionaries in different countries. Well, good for them. They can do that. But one of the things we've kind of avoided is not supporting churches with the DCHA. And our website actually is very secular. Secular in the sense it doesn't have a bunch of gospel stuff all over it. Why? Because foreign governments look at your website. If we're trying to go in there and do humanitarian work, if they see that all we're trying to do is use our this is a means to preach Jesus to their people, they don't want you bringing that superstition here. And I'll tell you what, when I've spoken at the Rotary or some places like that, which are secular organizations, people will give me money for the work, but they don't want to fund our superstition. You understand what I'm saying? Don't misunderstand me. We're just being wise as serpents and gentle as doves here. Because anybody that knows anything about DCHA knows darn well that that's what we do. And you've been a part of it. Many of you have been overseas, and you know what we do. We go in, we visit the poor, the orphan, the widow, and then we go in over on the side, and, you know, and very, we don't blow a trumpet. We do Bible studies with the underground church, say, in Vietnam. You know, or other places where we're not allowed to do that. It's against their laws. So, DCHA is very much using the humanitarian vehicle to go into these places to share the gospel. And we've done it for almost 30 years very successfully. Praise God for that. And let me tell you, they do get it real quickly when you're there helping them that you are Christian. And they say, praise God. Thank you for coming. God does get the glory, and that's who's supposed to get the glory. We're just hands and feet. We're just one who waters, or one who plants, and God who gives increase. So, because foreign governments will look at your website, when Nikolai gives me a letter of invitation, it says for Direct Connect Humanitarian Aid. Don't you think those guys can Google that? So, no, there's no Jesus and God and all that gospel stuff pasted all over our stuff. We're just showing all the good stuff we do. But everybody that supports us knows. So we're not really hiding it. We're just trying to be wise. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I hope you know that. But here's the deal. The church gets those kind of requests, too. The people need help. They might need help with some food. They need help with some medicine. They need help. You know, so we do. We'll respond. And that's the part, like I'm saying, you may not know that. You've been good about supporting it. You just don't realize it. But I want to make sure you're in the loop. That's where this is going to go. Paul would say in Philippians chapter 2, this is having the mind of Christ. We want the same mind. Paul said have the same mind that he did. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, fill my joy. Be of like-minded. Have the same love, being of one accord, one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each other esteem others better than himself. Like Jesus. Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He said he came all the way down from glory. He set aside his privileges, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross is how far he was willing to go. Did he not even esteem others better than himself? When you appraise something and you appraise a value to something, you know, when you see these ridiculous things that people will do, spend $50,000 for a pair of Jackie Kennedy's old high heel shoes, or, you know, $100,000 for one of Elvis Presley's capes or something he used to throw out there at people. Why would anybody spend that kind of money on stuff like that? Or on a baseball card? $500,000 on an old baseball card? Al Kaline or Rocky Colabito, maybe Detroit Tigers, I'm dating myself. Storm and Norman Cash. You guys didn't think I knew anything about sports. Well, you just know all I know about sports. Why would anybody spend that kind of money for that? How much is that thing really worth? As much as somebody would pay for it. Peter said, you have not been redeemed by corruptible things from your aimless conduct received from the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish, without spot. There's your value for you. How much are you worth? Well, if your life cost the life of the Creator, those pictures they're coming out now that they got with their new space telescope they shot out there a million miles to take pictures, they're seeing things in this universe. Man, no, man, it just blows your mind. That's the God we're dealing with here. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel real small. Man, oh man, what is man that you are mindful of him? I guess you are created for God's glory is what you are. And in order to bring about his eternal purpose in Christ Jesus, he was going to have to create this world, allow you first, as Moses said, to go into destruction so he could call you out of it through the calling of the gospel to a transformation of the renewing of our minds, renewing our character, renewing completely made new as a new creation in Christ Jesus, where old things are passed away, all things have become new. And the way, only way any of that could take place, he'd have to kill his own son. And the risk that Jesus took coming down here, as we read in Philippians, set aside his privileges, being humbled, came in the appearance of a man, and became obedient all the way to death on the cross. He was being tempted in all points. And if Satan, if Jesus in the 30 years when he was wandering around down here, if he was trying to hide anything, because he was going to be tested and tempted in all points, and if he would have yielded in any way, the temptation would have brought it out, and God would have lost his son. The danger against Jesus was incredible. He wasn't a robot, and there was no safety net under his trapeze. What are we told to do? Hold on. You have need of endurance, that after you have suffered a while, he who will come, will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. Hold on. No safety net under your trapeze. And there wasn't one under his. The danger against Jesus, the Son of God, was real. The devil was at, don't you... Why do you think he was throwing everything at him? He knew if he sins, he dies, and I win. I will be like the Most High. I will exalt my throne above the stars of heaven. I will be co-regent with God. And Jesus would have been dead. This is a big deal, what he's pulling off here. Have this mind. We need to become like him. That's the whole purpose. Those whom God foreknew, he predestined. They would be conformed to the image, character of his son, that he, Jesus, would be the firstborn of many. Like him. Jesus told Philip, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? How long have you been with me? Character, the character of. Holy as he's holy. He said, be holy, I'm holy. Pure. How pure? Pure as he is pure. That's pretty pure. He who does righteousness is righteous. How righteous? Righteous as he is righteous. Pretty righteous. That's pretty righteous. There's, I read it earlier out of Hebrews or Matthew 5. Therefore, be perfect. How perfect? As your heavenly Father is perfect. The standard for righteousness, purity, holiness, as he is. Conform to the image of the Son of God. If you behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord with an unveiled face, you will be transformed, he said, into the same image, same likeness, same character, from glory to glory. By what means? The Spirit of the Lord changing you. That ain't your power. You didn't do that. You didn't do that. He do that. If you have the faith for it, that's 2 Corinthians 3:18. When you behold, here's your mirror. The Word of God's a mirror. You behold us in a mirror with an unveiled face, the glory of the Lord. You look in here. You turn every page. It'll transform you. That's his plan. Colossians 3:10 said, you'll be renewed through knowledge. Right here, the knowledge of God. Faith comes by hearing this word of God. This will transform you. Colossians 3:10, you'll be renewed through your knowledge into what? The same image of the one who created you. Same likeness, same character. Us? Us? Us little weaklings? Us? We call us a worm. Oh, you worm, Jacob. Little squishy, little weak things, scaredy cat, petty, selfish. He's going to take the likes of you and me and transform us into the likeness of his son, strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, putting off concerning our former conduct, our old man, renewed in the spirit of our mind, that we can put on the new man created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That's how far this goes? Uh-huh. Why am I saying all that? Because that's how I'm going to end. When you see, we have to become like him. Jesus cared about other people. Jesus gave up himself for them. That is the character he's trying to produce in us. It's not rules and regulations that he's going to want us to try to observe here. The way Peter described it when he walked into Cornelius' house, how he described Jesus, you know, Cornelius, the first Gentile, brought in. Peter opened his mouth in Cornelius' house, verse 34, and perceived God as shows no partiality. He in a Gentile house. Peter realizes that now in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Peter told Cornelius, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he's Lord of all, that word, he said, you know, it was proclaimed throughout all Judea, beginning at Galilee, from the baptism which John preached, how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. He went about doing good. And this always just blew my mind. He went about doing good and helping all who were oppressed by the devil because God was with him. Then God's people took him and killed him by hanging him on a tree. Wait a minute. How do you go from a guy being the nicest guy on the block to God's people are the one who take him, kill him, and hang him on a tree? Yeah, go figure that one out. That seems like a strange conclusion that people came to. See, not everything is what it appears to be. There is a great evil. It's an intelligent evil that's working. Jesus told the Jews, where I'm going, you ain't coming. He said, you are of your father, the devil, and his desires you want to fulfill. You know, that's why they crucified him. They didn't crucify him because he said, consider the lilies how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. That's not why they killed him. He told them, God, their God, their father was the devil. But don't get me going on that. He went about doing good. And he wanted to bring relief for people who were afflicted by the devil is the god of this world. Look, we've all walked according to the course of this world. We've all followed the prince of the power of the air. We were all children of wrath just as others. That's how this, where this goes. You go from the innocence of your youth right into this darkness. You don't know what you're doing. You're doing what's right in your own eyes. It doesn't mean you mean to do bad, but it don't work out. Next thing, you're all hosed up, man. And now what are you going to do? You're broken. And just like with old Humpty Dumpty, man, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put old Humpty Dumpty. You can't fix yourself. You need a savior. By the power of God, he can bring about that transformation. And we are created for this unto good works. It'll be manifested in our lives. Let me move on here. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We need to be doers of the word, not just hearers, verse 22. Verse 25, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty continues in it, not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one, be blessed in his deed. You think, anyone who thinks himself be religious, but he doesn't bridle his own tongue, but deceives his own heart, that religion is vain. The only way you can bridle your tongue is change your heart. Because what comes out of the mouth, Jesus said, come from your heart. people can act nice, and then all this stuff comes out. Where do you think that came from? Came from their heart. Came from the inner man. Jesus said the solution is cleanse the inside of your cup, and your outside will be clean. Starts in here. That's why you must be born again. You must be born again if you're going to do this, because you need power. You need power of the Holy Spirit. Well, you can't just put a Holy Spirit in there. You have to be born again. You have to be of water and spirit, Jesus would say. The baptism is for the forgiveness of sin, to cleanse the inside of the vessel to get the gift. The thrust of Acts 2:38 is not the baptism. It is the gift of God. Told the woman at the well, if you knew who was talking to you and the gift of God, you'd be asking me for living water. Be a well springing up of you in everlasting life. Church of Christ seems to emphasize baptism, baptism, God getting baptized, 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 baptized. And they mumble something about the Holy Spirit. Got it when you're baptized. Bore witness with your spirit, you're a child of God. Straighten out a few crooked prayers. That it? How come they overlook all the power verses of the transformation, of the change, to conform you into the image of the Son of God? If you have the faith for it, you'll have the power for it if you're born again. If you ain't born again, you cannot change yourself. You'll never bridle that tongue of yours, and you're deceiving, he said, your own heart. Well, what is God looking for? Verse 27 says, pure, undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to visit the orphan and the widow in their trouble and keep yourself unspotted from the world, which you can't do if you're not born again. Well, if you're born again, then our focus needs to be to the helpless. Why the orphan and the widow? They are the most vulnerable in the whole world, throughout all the world. All these governments and all the spending all their money, you think they're helping orphans and widows? I'll guarantee you they're not. I've been in enough orphanages and children's homes for disabled kids in this world. They are hell holes. They are horrible. They don't put money into those things. They put it into their military or their presidential guaranteeing their next election, which they rig. Huh, I wonder if that's ever... No, I better not go there. I'll tell you what, this blew my mind. Some of you have heard me do my presentations for the Direct Connect. God has this thing about orphans and widows. Here's what he said to his people. His people now. Exodus 22:22. If you haven't had your hair blown back in a while... God said, you shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. And if you afflict them in any way, and they cry out at all to me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath will become hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives will be widows, and your children fatherless. Who's he talking to? His people. You harm them in any way, and they cry out to me. I think God cares about orphans and widows, the helpless. He said, James said, that's what he's looking for. That's what God is looking for. You could read the same thing in Isaiah chapter 1. I'm not going there right now. And James also tells us, look, mentioned it earlier. In James chapter 2. What does it profit? Verse 14, my brother. If someone says he has faith and doesn't have works, well, can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, one of you says to them, depart in peace, brother, we'll pray for you. Be warmed and filled, but you don't give them those things necessary for the body. What does that profit? Thus, faith without, by itself, if it don't have works, is dead. Someone said, well, yeah, you have faith, but I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I will show you my faith by my works. I'll just give you this, too. Everyone knows John 3:16. Well, 1 John 3:16 is pretty powerful. 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. By this we know love because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever has this world's good, sees his brother in need, shuts up his heart from him, well, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. By our action, Jackson, that's what he wants to see. Not just talking about it, but doing of it. I'll go ahead and probably just close with this one, but then I'll tell you what we're going to do, or what I'm going to do. I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you, actually. You like that. You know, people want to do something for you. Jesus said, look, when the Son of Man comes, in verse 31, Matthew 25 and 31, when he comes in his glory, all his holy angels with him, he's going to sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on the right hand, goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, gave me some food. I was thirsty, you gave me some drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, you clothed me. And I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me. The righteous will answer and say, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you and thirsty and give you a drink and stranger take you in and naked clothe you? Or when did we see you sick and in prison and come to you? The king, Jesus said, will answer and say to them, surely, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels, you murderers, you robbers, you child abusers. Didn't say that. I was hungry. Didn't give me any food. Thirsty. Didn't give me anything to drink. I was a stranger. You didn't take me in naked. You didn't clothe me. I was sick in prison. You didn't visit me. They're going to answer me, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry, thirsty, sick, and naked in prison and didn't minister to you? And he will answer them, surely I say to you, inasmuch you didn't do it to the least of these, you didn't do it to me. These will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Do you realize that most Christian people, it never occurs to them that sins of omission are as deadly as sins of commission? They're always trying to avoid killing somebody. They're always trying not to steal. They're always trying not to commit adultery. They don't want to do those things. But it never occurs to them to do good to some helpless person. Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses? If you've ever seen the Christmas Carol, you know how Scrooge's attitude about, I pay for those things, why should I have to give any more? Now all these things can be done, we do it collectively together. But hey, don't ever miss out on an opportunity if you have a friend or a neighbor. Somebody needs a hand up. Remember hand up, not hand out. Make sure that you have it in your heart to want to be able to do that. Maybe, you know, you don't have to go out. Well, man, I better go to Battle Creek, man. Oh, there's one of them guys with the sign, man. Here, man. Rod, you crack me up. Where's Rod at? That time Rod said he saw some woman walking in the ditch with her kid and he looked like he was picking up the cans. You know, his first thought was they were destitute, so he slams on the brake, jumps out of his car. He runs at this woman who sees him coming, and Rod, she's like, you know, she don't know who's this crazy guy coming after her. Then Rod is chasing her in the ditch. I say, he's trying to give her money. He doesn't realize she was like one of those Greenpeace people that was saving the environment and teaching her son to clean up the environment. So they're picking stuff out of the ditch, but Rod thinks they're poor and destitute, and he's chasing around trying to give her money. You don't have to go do that. God bless you, brother. You see, it's not that they didn't give the food, gave the water, clothe, or visited. It was that they didn't want to either. That's the problem. We don't need a checklist of things. Oh man, I better go walk an old lady. There's an old lady, I'll walk her across the street. You know, like the Boy Scout leader asked the boys if they did a good deed to. Yes, sir, we did. We walked an old lady across the street. He said, it took two of you to walk that old lady across the street? Yes, sir. She didn't want to go. This is going to be easier than you think. It's just having that mind of Christ. It'll flow from you. So, going forward, I mentioned to the guys I could do a web or a email thing rather than that church update thing on the text. You know, we'll do a, I'll just get your emails. When I get these requests, I will send out, so everybody knows, that we can, you know, the guys that still look at those things to decide, and we'll respond, and you'll get to see either pictures that I get, and we'll just keep you informed. We don't respond to everything, but just as a case in point, and I'll close with this, I got this yesterday from Oleg, because of Slava in Ukraine. Slava's a preacher. He's a former drug addict. He runs a church in Nikopol, Ukraine. We've been there. We Bible study with those guys. We Bible study with their drug rehab guys, the men and the women. These are amazing people. They are zealous to the max. Okay. Well, they're under attack, right? So Oleg says, Steve, got a message from Slava. He said early morning about 4 a.m., Nikopol was hit with the rockets. They heard the explosion, saw like fireworks in there, some houses, you know, big apartment buildings destroyed. School was destroyed. There also are casualties. They want to move their people, the Christians, some of the Christian people, into the village area where the drug rehab is at the Prokhorovskaya village. It's not far. It's maybe 15, 20 minutes outside of Nikopol. They want to rent like another building. It's just they get, the buildings out there are just poor. They're just dumps. They're just that way. But that, all the rest of the buildings are like that too. So they want to rent a building, and they want to get some of their people in there. They may need some help getting some beds. He said, because in the city, they don't know. He says, like a lottery. We don't know which house is going to get hit with the rockets next, those apartment buildings. That's what the Soviet Union used to build is people didn't have individual homes. They all lived in these big blocks. He said, they're going to have assembly, as usual, on Sunday. They could use some prayers and some help if possible. Well, that's typical. What do I get? Okay, so I told Oleg, I said, get me some more information, see what they need as far as how much will it, you know, cost to rent a place. It probably won't be much. And there's other churches that are involved. How much for beds and how many beds do you need? That's the kind of thing that I get that normally I deal with maybe with John and Rick. And a lot of you don't know. Because we get all the thanks, too. I get the, oh, thanks, I appreciate it so much, and praise God, and you don't even know that, and it was your money. So, I'm repenting, and I will, really nothing's changing. I don't have some big project I'm off to do here. I'm just telling you, this is the kind of stuff that comes in all the time. But I want to, it is codified in Scripture, but I want it codified it in your understanding, because as we looked at those verses, we see we are to remember the poor. That's part of it. And meeting those basic needs of people is a part of how we are Christ, collectively or individually. So, I'd say the congregation has been very generous and does very good in that area, and I just feel bad that you haven't even known that for maybe a long time. So, God willing, we'll get that information out to you, and I'll let you know how we respond to Slava and the need for them in Ukraine about needing to get the Christians out of the city and into the village. Thanks for your attention. Went over just a little bit. I think I did it once before. Sorry about that. Let's stay.